You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Well, folks, I've got a real good one for you tonight. So I want you to listen very carefully. Not going to be any prelude to it. I'm just going to go right into it. And please pay attention. Pay very close attention to what you're going to hear, because it's very important that you know this. I'm going to tell you a little story about a man who fought in the Revolutionary War. In fact, I'm going to tell you his story. Or I should say, he's going to tell you his story. I'm just going to function as his mouth, since he obviously is not here to do it himself. I think those of you who believe a lot of the things that I believe will appreciate this quite a bit, as this is not an ordinary story. This man is different. Please pay attention. Please listen very carefully. I lived in Salem and worked for different persons till the fall of 1775. In the spring of that year, the war had commenced, and the battles of Bunker Hill and Lexington had taken place. About the last of October, I enlisted as a soldier in the United States service for 1 year. I was told they were enlisting men to serve 1 year from the 1st of January 1776, but I should receive pay from the time I enlisted. And I enlisted and entered the service about the last of October and received 2 months' pay for my service up to 1st January 1776. I enlisted at Cambridge, about 4 miles from Boston, under Captain John Woolley, or Worley, and Colonel Paul Dudley, Sergeant's Regiment. Colonel Sergeant, I understood, had lived in Cape Ann. When I left New Jersey and went with Mr. Saxon to St. John's, I did not know my family name, but called myself Jacob Gulick, or Hulick, after the Mr. Gulick I had lived with, and was enlisted by that name. But after I returned to New Jersey, was informed by my mother that my family name was Francis, and after that time I went by the name of Jacob Francis. Captain Woolley, or Worley, as his name was called, was captain. His brother was lieutenant. His Christian name I forget, and he had 2 sons, one a sergeant, and the other a drummer in the same company in which I enlisted. The major's name was Ashton, or Aston. His Christian name I don't recollect. The lieutenant colonel's name was Jackson. I remember there was in the regiments Captains Pope, Scott, Barnes, Farrington, and I forget the names of the others. General Putnam was the general that I first recollect being under. At the time I was enlisted, the British Army lay in Boston. After that, I remained with the regiment at Cambridge and in the neighborhood of Boston until the British were driven out of Boston. I recollect General Putnam more particularly from a circumstance that occurred when the troops were engaged in throwing up a breastwork at Lechmere. Excuse me, folks, that's Lechmere Point across the river, opposite Boston, between that and Cambridge. The men were at work digging, about 500 men on the fatigue at once. I was at work among them. They were divided into small squads of 8 or 10 together, and a non-commissioned officer to oversee them. General Putnam came riding along in uniform as an officer to look at the work. They had dug up a pretty large stone which lay on the side of the ditch. The general spoke to the corporal, who was standing looking at the men at work, and said to him, "My lad, throw that stone up on the middle of the breastwork." The corporal, touching his hat with his hand, said to the general, "Sir, I am a corporal." "Oh," said the general, "I ask your pardon, sir," and immediately got off his horse and took up the stone and threw it up on the breastwork himself. and then mounted his horse and rode on, giving directions, etc. It was in the winter season, and the ground was froze. In 1776, after the British left Boston, the army, with our regiment and myself along with him, marched by way of Roxbury. That way we could go by land, over a causeway, into Boston, and lay over 2 or 3 days. Then were ordered out to Bunker Hill. We marched out and encamped there, and lay there some time. Then our regiment was ordered to an island, at that time called Castle William. The island contained about 10 acres. It was about 3 leagues, or 9 miles, from Boston. The channel for vessels passed close under it. The island had had a fortification in the shape of a half moon, but it was pretty much destroyed by the British before they left. The British fleet then lay about 9 miles farther out. We lay on that island till about harvest time. Then we left the island and was ordered to New York from the island. We crossed the river, left Boston on our right hand, and marched to New London. There we took shipping and come to New York, came down the East River, left Long Island on our left. The British was then on Long Island. At that time, the people were culling oats. We stayed a day or two in New York. There were no other troops but our regiment with us. After a day or two, we marched out to a place called Hell Gate on the north side of the East River. There we threw up breastworks, and the British threw up breastworks on Long Island on the opposite side of the East River and used to fire across. We lay there some time. While we lay there, the Battle of Long Island took place. There was a number of men detailed from our regiment, so many from each company, to go over and join the American army, perhaps 200 men. I was one. We crossed the river at Hell Gate and marched on to the island in the direction we was ordered, but did not get to join the army till the battle had commenced and our army was on the retreat. We had to cross a creek to get to our army, who had engaged the enemy on the other side, but before we got to that creek, our army was repulsed and retreating, and many of them were driven into the creek and some drowned. The British came in sight, and the balls flew around us, and our officers, finding we could do no good, ordered us to retreat, which we did, under the fire of the enemy. We retreated back to Hell Gate and recrossed to our fortifications. Soon after that, we had orders to leave that place and march to Westchester by way of King's Bridge. We lay there some time, and every night we had a guard stationed out 2 or 3 miles from where the regiment lay at a place called Morrisania. I mounted guard there every time it came to my turn. There was an island near there, the tide made up around it. The British had a station on the island, and a British ship lay there. In an attack on the island one night, Colonel Jackson was wounded. After some time, we were ordered to march to the White Plains. We marched there, and there joined General Washington's army. We lay some time at the White Plains. While we lay there, the British landed and attacked some of our troops and had a brush there. Our regiment and I with them marched by General Washington's orders toward a hill where the engagement was, but the British got possession of the hill, and we retreated back to the camp. The British established a garrison on that hill. I stood sentinel that night in a thicket between the American camp and the hill, so near the British lines that I could hear the Hessians in the garrison, which was between 1/4 and 1/2 mile from me. The British lay there a while, and then left that place, and our regiments marched after them about 3 or 4 miles farther east. Then we received orders and marched to Peekskill on the North River. We halted a day and night a little distance from the river, and there crossed at Peekskill to the west side of the river. From then we marched on, and I do not recollect the names of places we passed through till we got to Morristown, New Jersey. We lay there one night, then marched down near to Basking Ridge, and lay there the next night. That night, General Lee was taken in or about Basking Ridge. I heard the guns fire. The next morning, we continued our march across Jersey to the Delaware and crossed over to Easton. From thence, we marched down the Pennsylvania side into Bucks County. It was then cold weather, and we were billeted about in houses. Our company lay off from the river a few miles below Coryell's Ferry and above Howell's Ferry. We lay there a week or two. Then we received orders to march, and Christmas night crossed the river and marched down to Trenton early in the morning. Our regiment crossed at Howell's Ferry, 4 miles above Trenton, and marched down the river road and entered the west end of the town. General Washington, with the rest of the army, crossed at McConkie's Ferry, 4 miles above Howell's, and marched down the Scotch Road and came into the north end of the town. We marched down the street from the river road into the town to the corner where it crosses the street running up towards the Scotch Road and turned up that street. General Washington was at the head of that street coming down towards us and some of the Hessians between us and them. We had the fight. After about half an hour, the firing ceased, and some officers, among whom I recollect was General Lord Stirling, rode up to Colonel Sargent and conversed with him. Then we were ordered to follow them, and with these officers and Colonel Sargent at our head, we marched down through the town toward Assanpink, and up the Assanpink on the north side of it, and to the east of the town, where we were formed in line and in view of the Hessians, who were paraded on the south side of the Assanpink and grounded their arms and left them there and marched down to the old ferry below the Assanpink between Trenton and Lamberton. Soon after that, a number of men from our regiment were detailed to go down and ferry the Hessians across the Pennsylvania. I went as one, and about noon it began to rain and rained very hard. We were engaged all the afternoon ferrying them across till it was quite dark when we quit. I slept that night in an old mill house above the ferry on Pennsylvania side. The next morning I joined my regiment, where I had left them the day before, up the Assanpink east of Trenton. We lay there a day or two, and then the time of the year's men was out, and our regiment received part of their pay and were permitted to return home. I did not get a discharge. At that time, I had 7.5 months' pay due to me, and I believe others had the same. I received 3 months' pay, and all the rest of the regiment received the same, and we were ordered after a certain time to come to Peekskill on the North River, and then we should receive our pay and get our discharges. I was with the regiment and in service from the time of enlistment till that time about 14 months, and never left it until I had received the 3 months' pay and had permission to return to the place of my nativity in Amwell, about 15 miles from Trenton. I immediately returned to Amwell and found my mother living but in ill health. I remained with her, and when the time came to go to Peekskill for my pay and discharge, I gave up going and never received either my pay or a discharge in writing. That pay, 4.5 months at 40 shillings a month, £9 proclamation money equal to $24, is yet due to me from the United States. After I came home, I was enrolled in the militia in Captain Philip Snook's company. One Fisher was lieutenant under Captain Snook. The next spring, I was called out in the militia in the month's service. The militia took turns. One part went 1 month, and then the other part went out a month and relieved them, and then those that were out the first month went again, so that one half the militia in this part of Jersey was out at a time, and this continued for several years. I always went out when it came to my turn to the end of the war as one of the militia, and went out once as a substitute for a person who was to go but could not and gave me $75 continental money to take his place, and I did and served the month. The name of this person I am unable to recollect, as I was not particularly acquainted with him. In the spring of 1777, the first month I went out was under Captain Phillips, or Captain Charles Reading, I cannot recollect which, as I was out under them both at different times. We marched first to Elizabethtown and stayed a month. We laid part of the time at a place near there called Halstead's Point. Colonel David Chambers was colonel of the regiment. William Chamberlain, lieutenant colonel. After that, I went out again another month at Elizabethtown under Captain Philip Snook. I was out another month under Captain Philip Snook. We marched that time to Newark and stayed a month. We lay in a building in Newark called an academy or schoolhouse. At that time, the British and Hessians lay on Staten Island. An alarm came that there was an attack on the militia at Elizabethtown, and our company marched out toward Elizabeth 2 miles or more along the road till we came to a piece of rising ground where the British came in sight. When we saw their numbers, we fired on them and then retreated. A piece of low ground covered with bushes lay on the west of the road. We turned into that. The Hessians, I think, came foremost. There was 3 columns, blue coats, green coats, and red coats, and when they got on the rising ground, fired on us. After we got off some distance, some of us concluded to cross back toward the road and get a shot at them. One Joseph Johnson, belonging to the company, and myself went. We separated, and I crept along among the bushes till I got almost within gunshot, when I heard a noise behind me and looked around, and there was 3 Hessians near me that belonged to a flanking party and had got between me and the company. They took me prisoner. Johnson was some distance from me and was taken prisoner by another party. I was taken by the Hessians that took me out to the road to the British Army and marched with them under guard through Newark and was carried some distance up the river called Second River. Night came on, and sometime in the night we came to a creek that ran down into the river. Some of our militia, but I don't know who, expecting the British, had placed themselves in some bushes on the left of the road near the creek and fired on the British as we came up. This created some confusion and broke the ranks, and the most of them left the road and turned off to the right toward the river. There was 4 men had me under guard. They turned in the alarm and left me. I stood near a steep bank that ran down into some bushes toward the creek. Finding the men a little way from me, I stepped down the bank into the bushes and laid down. The militia that had fired retreated, and I saw nothing of them. The British stayed a few minutes. One of the captains was wounded. They then formed in the road again and marched on. That same party marched on up to Esopus, and burnt Esopus at that time. I lay in the bushes some time till they were all gone, then came out and pushed back to Newark and joined Captain Snook's company. There about 2 o'clock in the morning, I stayed my month out. After that, I went out again under Captain Snook, and we marched to Newark and lay there a month. I think I was at Newark and Elizabethtown several times after that, and did tours of duty a month at a time at Newark and Elizabethtown. But I cannot state the number of times or particular circumstances that occurred each time. I was out afterwards and did a tour of duty of a month, in which we marched up to Pompton, stayed there some time. There was other militia there, and 2 subaltern officers and about 60 of the militia, and myself among others, turned out to go on a scouting party down toward the British lines. We marched from Pompton to Paramus. From that we marched down to Hackensack and stayed all night there. The next morning marched down the river toward the British lines and Bergen a few miles to where there was an old guardhouse on the west side of the river that was unoccupied, and on the opposite side another which we supposed to be occupied by the British. We went to the guardhouse on the west of the river and stayed an hour or two. On the other side, a piece from the river was rising ground. After waiting some time, we saw some troops come over the rising ground at a distance and marched down toward the river below us, where they were obscured from our sight by an intervening wood. There appeared to be a much larger number of men than we had, and the subalterns who were with us, apprehending they might cross the river below and come in on our rear, ordered us to retreat and not to fire. We had not proceeded up the river far when a considerable party of the British troops we had seen below came in sight on the opposite side of the river and fired on us. The subalterns took the lead in the retreat and ordered us to hurry on without firing. We marched a little way. The British kept firing. I was behind the rest of our party, and a bullet struck very near me, upon which I suddenly turned round and fired. Then our whole party turned and fired on the British, upon which they retreated again. Our subaltern officers had pushed on ahead, and we saw no more of them. We marched on without them and joined the army at headquarters, and I joined my company. I was out afterwards under Captain Philip Snook, I think, several times. I recollect particularly being out under him at the time of the Battle of Monmouth. We were in a regiment of the Jersey Militia, at that time commanded by Colonel Joseph Phillips, belonging to General Dickinson's brigade. Our regiment and myself, with it, was on the battleground and under arms all that day, but stationed on a piece of ground a little to the northwest of where the heat of the battle was, and were not actively engaged with the enemy. But our Captain Snook was permitted to go, or went in the course of the day for some purpose, but what I am unable to recollect or state, to another part of the field, and received a wound from a musket shot through his thigh. After the battle was over, we were discharged and returned home. I recollect other occasions when I was out, although I cannot state them exactly in their order of time. I was out in the militia at the time of the Battle of Brandywine. I was at Newark at the time Lord Cornwallis was taken. I am not able to state the times and places of my services more particularly, but I am satisfied that the time I served in the militia, added to the time I served in the Continental Army, considerably exceeds the span of 2 years. I have no discharge or documentary evidence to know my services or assist my memory. He received his pension as a soldier in the Revolutionary War. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to know, what was special about this man? 520-333-4578 is the number. 520-333-4578 is the number. What was special about this man? Hello? Anybody listening? Something very special about him. What was it? 520-333-4578. Phones are open, waiting for your call. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi. I would imagine that he worked pretty much for free during the time that he was demoted.
Well, he did. Most of the soldiers did, especially militiamen.
Right.
Militiamen were volunteers. They were not enlisted in the regular army and were due no pay. But that's not the answer. I appreciate the call. Any other comments you want to make?
About our
Hello?
Republic Hall in Philadelphia.
Republic Hall?
Our Independence Hall.
I can barely hear you. Can you?
Independence Hall in Philadelphia apparently has been given over to UN control.
How do you know that?
Several people have told me who.
No, when you find out some proof, then you can come on and say that. All you're repeating is hearsay.
There.
That's rumor, in case you don't know what hearsay means.
I don't know exactly what hearsay means. But it's under the...
How do you know?
From people who research this?
No, you research it. Find the documentation. Then you can call in and make statements like that. You understand what I'm saying? If you're just getting it from somebody else, it's nothing but rumor. You don't know that to be true, do you? I'm not saying it's false. We just have standards on this broadcast. We don't allow the spread of rumor. Okay?
I've never been held to the standard before.
Well, you better start getting held to it, because foisting rumor and trusting people and blindly running around stumbling into the trees is how we got lost in this forest.
Precisely.
So stop it. I'm holding you to those standards if you're going to be a caller on my broadcast.
You know, if everyone conducted yourself as you did, now America would be a much better place.
That's right. That's exactly right. And that includes don't spread rumors about your neighbors.
I don't.
Well, I don't know if you do or not. I know a lot of people do, and they hurt a lot of people by it. Most rumors are never true. About 99.9% of them are never, ever true.
Well, I would concur in as much as that rumors can have some small basis in fact.
No, that's not true. It's not true. You know what rumors can serve to do? They can serve you to say, you know, maybe I should ask some questions and see if this is true or not. That's all a rumor is good for, nothing else.
Normally, when I hear a rumor, I don't even approach the person about whom the rumor is to verify.
Certainly not. Nobody does. That's why they hurt so many people spreading this stuff around.
I simply disregard.
Oh, come on. Most people don't disregard, and you don't disregard. You didn't disregard this rumor about Constitution Hall.
Well.
Did you? You didn't disregard that rumor, did you? And you didn't pursue it to find out if it was true or not, did you?
Do you know whether it is or not?
No, but I'm not the one spreading it. You are. Good night. Oh, I think a light came on in his head. Maybe. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Cooper.
Hello.
Hello. The man in question, could he possibly have been a black man?
Yes.
Maybe a slave at one time.
Absolutely. He was a free black man.
Oh, okay.
He had been a slave up until the time he was 21. And he wasn't really a slave. He was an indentured servant.
Ah.
See, not all slaves were slaves, and not all slaves were black. Many slaves were also white, and a lot of them were not slaves all their life. They were what were called indentured for so many years, and when they served their time, they were no longer slaves. An indentured servant is a slave, by the way.
Okay.
But blacks used to like to say that blacks were slaves, whites were indentured servants. It didn't matter. Slave is a slave.
By any other name, yes.
Yeah, and a lot of blacks were also indentured servants. A lot of free blacks also owned black slaves. A lot of free blacks also had white indentured servants. Did you know that?
No, I didn't, sir.
And a lot of free blacks fought in the Revolutionary War. They also fought in the Civil War.
Well, that I knew, yeah. We need more men like this today in our country.
You better believe it.
Who are willing to lay down their lives for the truth and for freedom.
That's right.
Anyway, I wanted to congratulate you on the wonderful job you do on your program.
Thank you.
And what would it take for me to get a tape of the broadcast of May 11th?
Watch the Hot Shop on the Internet. That's the only place they're going to be available.
Okay.
I am overburdened.
Okay.
I'm not doing any of this stuff anymore. It will be available through the Hot Shop. If you don't have a computer, find somebody who does, because you're not going to be able to get them any other way.
Very good, sir. Have a pleasant evening.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
520-333-4578 is the number. Yeah, if you listen to people like Jesse Jackson, blacks had no place in this country. Did you hear that black man complaining in his narrative? He wrote that, by the way. He wrote it. He was an educated man. He wrote it. He served willingly. He was a free man. He was an American. He fought to build this country. He risked his life. He was a black man. And there were a lot of others just like him. How about that, Jesse Jackson? People who pretend to be black leaders but really aren't. If they're leading you at all, and you're black, they're leading you back into enslavement under communism. You'd better get that through your heads. Better do it. Yes, sir, you had better do it. You see, if you read the Constitution, folks, it's very clear. It's very clear. There is no hesitancy. There is no occulted meanings. There's nothing that needs to be interpreted. The language is clear. The words were well chosen. And they included that black man who fought in the Revolutionary War. How about that? How about that? 520-333-4578 is the number. What do you think about that? Have you ever thought about it before? Probably not. But now, you have reason to think about it now. Number is 520-333-4578. Phones are open. We're taking your calls for the rest of the hour. Black revolutionary soldiers fighting at Lexington and Concord Bridge and the Battle of Bunker Hill. How many of you knew that the Declaration of Independence wasn't written, signed, and released as the unanimous declaration of the 13 colonies for 1 year and 3 months after the Revolutionary War started, April the 19th, 1775? A lot of people erroneously think that's when the Revolutionary War started, on July the 4th, 1776. It's not true. The war started April 19th, 1775. July 4th, 1776 was the declaration of what we call the Declaration of Independence. That's not really what it is. It's really called the Unanimous Declaration of the 13 Colonies. A lot of people think the Constitution was written July 4th, 1776. Most Americans don't know their own history. Don't know anything whatsoever about it. And there are a lot of people who have taken a lot of pains over a lot of years to make sure that that happened. You see, if you don't know your history, you don't know who you are. You don't know what the United States of America is. You don't know where you live. You don't know its purpose in history. And you sure couldn't possibly know where these traitors are taking us. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Cooper. Carmine from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Carmine.
Always a pleasure to speak to you. I didn't hear what you just saying in the last 5 minutes because I had turned my radio down. But something very interesting that the Blackbeard is always quick to point out that the first man killed in the Revolutionary War was a black man. Did you know that?
I know that they point that out, yes. Is it true?
I wasn't around.
Well, there were six men killed on Lexington Green,
Or
also known as Lexington Common.
Okay.
Those were the first men killed in the Revolutionary War. There were six. There was no first. There was a first six.
I was very interested that they put it that way.
Now, you could argue about who got killed first, standing there, but I don't really think that that in the heat of that exchange of bullets with the British, that anybody could honestly tell you for sure who was the first man who died.
Yeah,
they might be able to tell you who the first man who fell was, but he may have lived. He may be one of the ones who lived, or he may have died hours later, or he may have died instantly. Who knows?
Right. We didn't have statisticians like we have today.
No, and we didn't have doctors on the scene checking blood pressure and see who died when.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. I was going to say that I knew the answer to that. I'm not saying in hindsight. I knew the answer, but somebody got in before me. That one fellow that was talking about the rumor thing was like driving me up a wall.
They drive me up a wall, too, because they just don't get it. He just doesn't get it.
Well, I hear things, too, but when I go to Philadelphia, I'll go take a look. But I haven't had a chance to go over there and see if they're under the Parks Department or if they've been taken over by the UN and all that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've heard that rumor myself, but I'm not going to say I can swear to it because I haven't proved it myself.
Yeah, and it just gets passed from mouth to mouth and lip to lip and, so
well,
on. I'll tell you right now, if they've really done that, that's grounds right there for civil war. That's enough for me. If they really did it, if it's really true, if they really gave Independence Hall or Constitution Hall, some of us call it Constitution Hall, and others call it Independence Hall, if they really gave that to the United Nations under the Biosphere program as a UN biosphere, and I don't see how a building in the middle of a city could be a biosphere.
Me either.
But if they really did that, that's grounds alone, all by itself, in light of our history and what it means to patriots in this country to go to war, all by itself. Don't need any other excuse than that, if it's true. But I'm telling you right there, and right now, I don't know if it's true, and nobody should believe it until it's documented, verified, and proven.
I was going to parallels to about the soldier you were reading about, the one in the Revolutionary War, the black man. Has been one of our interesting black people in history, and something very recent that you brought up is that the group that made the music or the intro for your program was a black group, right?
That's right.
Yeah, so they know what's going on.
Yes, they do. And to tell you the truth, there are groups, organizations, and individuals in the black community who know more about the history of this country and what's really going on today than 99% of all of every other race in this country.
It wouldn't surprise me. I was trying to get in a talk show today, and they had three communists. I swear they were communists. And one guy that was pretending to be the middle of the road, but if he walked any more in a circle to the left, he would be one also.
Yeah.
And they were what were they talking about? I was going to call in and ask them. I bet you not one of them, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance, let alone the preamble to the Constitution.
Yeah.
And they were saying how the NRA, you wouldn't want to be at a dinner with everybody who's from the NRA there. Like there's something wrong with it, like they're lepers or something.
Well,
because they believe in the Constitution?
I'll tell you what, they're probably more polite, have better manners, and would be better at conversation at dinner than if you went to a million mom march dinner.
Well,
Let's put it that way.
I went to a couple of NRA dinners here in Reading, and I'll tell you something. It's very interesting. You get quite a dichotomy of people, and I must admit, everybody was well-behaved. Nobody got out of hand. It was just like going to a regular church function, except the subject matter they were interested in was the Second Amendment.
Sure.
So I found nothing wrong with it. And anybody who gets in a high horse and starts making noise about it, I just say, look, there's plenty of other countries you can go live in.
Well, you see, that shows vacuum brain.
When
anti-gun people make those as points as to why people should not own guns, they're practicing the old communist technique, is when you cannot argue the facts, attack the people, attack the person. So they're trying to make it look like these are terrible people that you wouldn't want to eat dinner with them, and therefore we should not be allowed to own guns.
Well, I like to put labels on everyone.
No, they can't deal with facts. This
know,
is this is the truth.
By putting a label on
no,
it.
They're not getting around it. They never get around it. They just shift the conversation to something else, and they try to make people look bad rather than deal with the facts of the argument. They have no argument.
Can I give you one last thing?
Sure.
On the evening news tonight on different networks, they were saying how Clinton will be disbarred for lying under oath, and one network quoted because of Monica Lewinsky stating it, making you look like it was only one instance. And another network said it was because of Paula Jones.
You want to know?
That was the only instance.
You want to know the truth?
Yes.
Here's the truth. Nobody knows if he's going to be disbarred yet.
Well, the federal appointed judge is probably going to handle his case anyway.
No, it's not. It's not a matter for a federally appointed judge. It's a matter in the state from where he comes, where he's a member of the bar. The commission that was appointed recommended that he be disbarred. That's as far as it's gone. It goes to a judge in his home state who will decide whether or not he's going to be disbarred.
What I was alluding to is that the networks are making it look like there's only one instance.
There is only one instance.
What was it, Paula Jones or Monica Lewinsky?
You know, how come it is I'm the only one that can look this stuff up?
Well,
The committee that made the recommendation, stop listening to all these people and look it up yourself.
Sure.
The committee that made the recommendation on the grounds that he had lied under oath during a deposition during the Paula Jones case, period.
Okay, but I'm just trying to tell you on the news, they said Monica Lewinsky.
I don't care what they say. I don't care what they say.
I know, but I'm saying he was caught twice lying under oath. Whether to use it one instance or another, but I agree with
it you. It doesn't have beings to do with what we were discussing. We were discussing what grounds he was going to be disbarred under if he's going to be disbarred.
Well, you're saying it's Paul Jones.
I'm not saying that.
Well, you're probably correct because
the commission said it.
Okay, but I agree with you 100%. I'm just trying to say the way the media is putting a spin on it.
The media is always putting a spin on everything. Why is that such a surprise?
It's not a surprise, but you would think it would get.
But you're making a big deal of it as if it is. It is no surprise. The media has been taken over by the enemy. It's the biggest bunch of lying, puke-faced, traitorous creeps in the history of this country.
I'm
is in the media. There is no reporter or journalist that you can trust to tell you the truth, period. End of subject.
And the public education has really made him more leftist.
Left and right is meaningless. They're traitors.
They've lost their moral compass. Okay, Mr. Cooper, thank you very much.
No, they haven't lost their moral compass. They know what morals are. They are engaged in a war to destroy this country and create a socialist, totalitarian, one-world government. They are soldiers in an army.
I agree with you there.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Forget all this left, right, conservative, liberal, because that's all bullshit. All of it. They're soldiers in an army. They have an agenda and a cause. And they are fighting a war. And they will use whatever weapons they have. Why does that surprise everybody all the time? Especially if you listen to this broadcast. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill. Ken from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Ken.
Getting back to that, the Liberty Bell, the Independence Hall.
Yeah.
We have a photo of a plaque that states it as a World Heritage Site. We can get you a copy up. Copy the photo.
Who made the photo?
Well, when they had the NRA convention.
Yeah.
In Philadelphia. We had some friends of ours. There's a local group called Firearm Owners Against Crime.
Who made the photo?
Pardon me?
Who made the photo?
A friend of ours took the photo. I'm not sure exactly who took it, but a group of guys went out there.
And what does the sign say?
It says World Heritage Site.
What else? You
know, and it's mounted on the wall near the...
Which wall?
Well, I'm not sure. I've never been to Independence Hall.
Well, that's what I'm getting to. You don't know if it's Independence Hall at all, do you?
Well, we have their account. I mean, it was there when the NRA convention was held there.
Was where?
The plaque.
Was where?
What do you mean?
Where was the plaque?
The plaque was in Independence Hall.
Inside Independence Hall?
Yes.
Okay, and you know that for sure. It was inside...
Well, I didn't see it, but we have a photo. I'm not just saying we have a photo of it. But like you said...
How do you know the photo was taken in Independence Hall?
Well, we're just going on by the word of...
That's what I thought. Another rumor.
Okay. Okay, but, you know,
there's ways to...
Pardon me?
It's not whether it's hard to believe.
Yeah.
Or easy to believe. The fact is, it's a rumor.
Well, to verify for yourself, you'd have to go there for yourself.
No, you don't.
See it for yourself.
No, you don't. There's all kinds of ways to verify it officially and document it. Without having to go there and stand in front of it yourself.
Which would be, Bill?
Pardon?
Which would be?
That's your homework assignment. I do it every day, right here. I'm in the middle of Arizona. I don't go anywhere. And I know what's true and what's not, and you can't figure it out for your life. Isn't that pathetic?
Not really.
I think it is, and you better start thinking it is, because it is pathetic. You're free to travel. I'm not. I can figure out what's true and what's not, and you can't. You can't. What is wrong with that picture?
Yeah, I was just trying to tell you there is a photo out there.
Yeah, there's lots of things out there. I got a photo of little green men from Mars.
Well,
in fact, I got a whole bunch of them.
Well,
tons of them, if you want to know the truth.
What's that?
I said, I got tons of them, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah.
Now, somebody who actually stood there and saw it and is willing to...
Well, they would have to...
Make out an affidavit under penalty of perjury... then you can believe them.
That's how it would have to be done, I guess.
Because that's the way you determine truth from falsity. And unless you can impeach the witness, you have to take the witness's testimony.
Yeah, okay. Another thing, talking about the first black killed in the Revolution, I think a lot of them are talking about Crispus Attucks, aren't they? He was killed in the Boston Massacre.
That wasn't the Revolution.
I understand that, but I think that's what they're referring to.
Well, they may be, but that wasn't the Revolution.
I understand that because me and my friend, we went up last year.
If you understand it, then you know it's not a valid argument.
Yes, I understand that. I was just pointing out that possibly that's what they could be referring to. That's all.
Could be.
But every patriot, if they get a chance, should take a trip up to Lexington and Concord.
Absolutely.
We were up there last year. It's very spectacular.
Yeah.
If you care about freedom and liberty... it's just a great place to be. I mean, you know, it's kind of like a spiritual place, I guess.
Yes, it is.
It was for me and my friend Mike, yeah, definitely. But I'll try to get you actual verification that there is a plaque at the Independence Hall in Philadelphia.
What do you mean, try? That's your homework assignment.
Well, I will.
You'll do it, or I could get the person. You'll do it, or you'll get an F on the air.
Well, I'll give it my best, Bill.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah. You
God
can,
bless.
I know you can do it.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye.
520-333-4578, the number. Why is it, you know, I just don't understand why it is so difficult for some people to understand how we got in this position and why it is so important that we don't ever deal in rumors, that we deal only in truth, live our lives by the truth, don't pass on rumors, don't engage in that, and that we can find out what the truth is. And we can do it from 1,000 miles away or from the other side of the world if we really want to. Seek ye the truth, and the truth will make you free. Anything else will enslave you. Good evening. You're on the air.
Mr. Cooper.
Yes, sir.
Would that gentleman have been George Washington Carver?
No. No, I said his name at the beginning of the broadcast.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I told you exactly who he was, and then how he found out his last. He didn't even know what his last name was until after his first enlistment was up.
Thank you for my attempt.
That's okay.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening to you, too.
Yes, sir.
See, I told you guys to listen carefully, because that was a big clue. Most blacks who were raised either as an indentured servant or as a slave never knew who their father was until later in their life. Now, he was lucky. His mother knew. His mother knew who his father was. And after his first enlistment, he went home to see his mother, and she told him who his father was and what his real last name was. I'll bet that was a great comfort to him. Would have been to me. 520-333-4578 is the number. We're taking your call. Which calls? Not rumor calls. You see, folks, when you cut through all the crap of the divisive tactics that are used against us to divide us and conquer us and to destroy us, then you begin to realize there's only one race, and that's the human race. The human race. The human race. All this other stuff are things that people have been taught erroneously by people who have an agenda. Lots of Christians fall victim to this. If you read the New Testament, read what Jesus said. You know, if you want to be a Christian, you have to follow Jesus, not all these other people. Read what he says about who will be in heaven with him. Read what he says about who will be in heaven with him. If you subscribe to anything else, you have bought in to the old tall tales of Lucifer. You've been led down the primrose path. You've been lied to. If, in fact, you think you're a Christian and you believe that there's a chosen race and that's the Israelites and you're part of it, you are actually practicing the Jewish religion. Bet you didn't know that, did you? But it's the truth. It means you've rejected what Christ taught. You have said, he's a liar. And if you want to be Jewish, you should go down and join the Jewish synagogue and be Jewish. Nothing wrong with that. But don't pretend to be a Christian. and practice the Jewish religion. You know what I mean? And don't pretend to be an American and teach Christians that Christ was a communist. And if you want to be a good Christian, you have to be a good communist, like Paul Crouch is doing. Paul Crouch. If you listen to him, that communist is going to teach you how to be one. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
This is Jeff from Shortcap, West Virginia.
Hi, Jeff.
How you doing?
Good.
Happy belated birthday.
Thank you very much.
I need to feel something out before I really got into it. Sort of hard to say.
You better hurry because we're out of time. You better really hurry, like right now. What's your question?
What do you think of...
What's your question? We're out of time.
I can't think of his name.
Okay, I got to let you go. That's it, folks. Good night. God bless each and every single one of you. Good night, Annie Poon Allison. I love you. Remember, folks, there is one uniting common bond for all Americans, and that is freedom. Get out of the deception. Stop listening to the bullshit artists, and I mean all of them. Seek the truth. Seek the truth. And if you want to be free, allow others to be free. If you want to be free to practice your religion, let others practice also theirs. Do you understand? If you don't, you'll never be free. And the biggest lesson that you ever have to learn is that if you're not willing to die for freedom, you cannot and will not ever have it. Johnny Lightning, if you're listening, the song that won your contest last night is not classic rock. That's not classic rock at all. If it's anything, it's pop. And if it's a genre of pop, it's easy listening. Hotel California is not classic rock, Johnny. Other than that, I love your show.